So nobody says when they're in second grade, I want to be a loan officer when I grow up, unless you're Lindsay Labonte. And that's exactly why we couldn't wait to have her on the show today. She's someone who truly loves this profession. She's built an amazing team, all the while being an incredible wife, mother, branch manager, loan officer, friend, overall really cool chick. And today we're getting real about why she chose HMA, what makes her tick, and how she's built a business that runs with intention, organization, and heart. Lindsay, we're so happy to have you here. Welcome to Lending Leadership.
Thank you, Rach. That was just too much of an intro. I'm going to call you anytime I need to feel good. Thank you.
That's what we do. That's what we do here.
You really do.
So literally, you're the one. You're the one who's like, I want to be a loan officer. And probably the other second graders in class are like, what's she talking about? I want to be a princess.
Definitely. I mean, I actually remember in, I think I was 10. So what's that, fourth grade? There was a project where we had to pick who our hero was. And, you know, everyone was picking all these different people. And I picked my dad. And, you know, I really, if he's listening, he's going to cry because, you know, but seriously, I think from a really young age, I just, for whatever reason, saw that he went out and was so passionate about his job and truly felt, you know, this is helping people achieve the American dream of homeownership, and came back and told us, I have a brother who's a year younger than I am, told us about that all the time. And he'd bring us down to realtor offices and really just integrated us as young kids into his profession. And so there was never really a boundary between, you know, my dad working versus the family, although he was working all the time, crazy hours. And yeah, so at a young age, I knew what it was to be a loan officer, and that was a potential career path. I don't know that I literally said I wanted to be that as a kid. I did at one point want to be a veterinarian, which I think most kids, right? It's like animals, astronauts, whatever. But pretty quickly, loan officer was on the docket.
That's so cool. What a cool story, Lindsay. How did it continue to grow as you got older and you started, you know, watching him more and participating in the business? So like, what were the next steps as you started getting older and realizing, oh my gosh, this could be a profession that's really for me, and you started feeling more serious about it?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was a very good student, but I think even from, you know, high school age, I wanted to kind of just get to being a grown-up a lot faster than, you know, you can when you're 14, 15, 16, and you want to be 30. I recently was talking to my mom and I was like, you know, I feel like right now I'm finally at the age that I've always wanted to be. And I just always, even as a young kid, I knew like I wanted to be working. I wanted to have a family. I wanted all these things. So I went to school and I did well at school, but I didn't necessarily love it. And I wanted to work. I saw my dad. He was out in the community. He was earning money. He was supporting us financially and he was helping people and people knew him. And, you know, it was just this whole connectivity. And so when I was 16, I convinced my dad to let me start working for him that summer. And basically, I was his salad getter. I would like literally go to the same place every day and order his salad and pick it up. I helped with some filing, you know, just really basic. Yeah. And then from there, I always joke that he couldn't get rid of me. And really, in hindsight, not that he was literally trying to get rid of me, but I think my parents always, they wanted me to get out of town and make sure I was, you know, seeing the big picture and experiencing the world. And, you know, not that there's anything bad about just staying where you live. I certainly, that's something I've had to actually get over, is like, okay, I'm just a townie, but hey, you know what? That's all right. But I think they did. They wanted me to do more. Nonetheless, I stayed local. I worked with my dad that summer. My high school was really cool. We had this block scheduling where once you took enough classes, you could actually make an internship and you could go take college classes. And so I did all of that while I was in high school. And I was able to actually work part-time in the business through high school and then also through college. And I was licensed as a loan officer when I was 20, I think in my junior year of college. And, you know, now I'm 35. So there you go.
Wow. That is like, that's really just a cool, unique story. You don't hear of people starting that young or knowing what they want to do when they're that young. It's not the usual situation. There's usually a lot of twists and turns. So it's kind of cool to hear how you were so focused at that age, Lindsay. I feel like that's a unique quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an interesting time because so 2006 was that summer that I was 16 that I started working. And then of course, from there was basically right into the whole housing bubble, market crash, everything that happened. And so it also gave me a really different lens, I think, as a child of, at the time, my dad owned his own mortgage brokerage. And so I also watched I mean, I was there with him as we were kind of navigating all of these different market changes. And then also old enough where I saw how it impacted my parents and, you know, their financial situation and their decisions that they were making. And I think a big part of me felt like I really wanted to stay and see the company through and help my dad. And I knew how much the business mattered. I mean, our Applied Mortgage team, it's a legacy business at this point. We've helped thousands of people in the community. We give back to a ton of organizations. And that really, I think my dad was a little ahead of his time in a way with that corporate social responsibility, and especially being a big bad mortgage broker, right? But still giving all this time and money into the community. And so, yeah, so that was I wasn't a loan officer during the crash, but I was supporting my dad, and it was a climb to get from that point to, you know, 2000 and whatever, 15 maybe, and move on from there.
Yeah, that's trial by fire, I'd say. And actually, no, it's probably, man, what a unique perspective, because when you come up in this business and things are great, oh yeah, I can do this. Sure. Everything's going well, but when things are not going well and you have to learn in a situation where you have to be creative and you've got to strategize in a different way, I think it gives you a different backbone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always have this feeling that the other shoe is going to drop. And when my husband and I are, you know, figuring out our plans and goals and all that, I tend to just be a little bit more conservative. And I think for anybody probably who grew up with parents who are entrepreneurs or just surrounded by it, there's the excitement of being an entrepreneur and taking those risks and doing your own thing. And then there's also the, well, what happens if it doesn't work out? And so I do think also there's always kind of that fallback plan, what if situation. And what's really cool is, you know, working with my dad, he always said, you work with me, not for me. And really from almost day one, he taught me everything that he was doing and let me be a part of a lot of those decisions. And not everybody, you know, I totally am aware that's a huge privilege. Not many 20-year-olds starting off in the mortgage business would get to see how all the books run and see how the decisions are made and all of that extra education and insight.
Yeah, really nobody. I mean, that's, and it's, I think it's completely apropos. If you're listening to this podcast, Lindsay in her background has a little plaque that says, a goal without a plan is just a wish. I mean, that sums it up perfectly right there. But going back to what you had started to say, it reminded me of that movie 13 Going on 30, you know.
Have you seen that? Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, you're in this place in life at this precipice of like being everything that you had dreamed about and all the work that you've put into being where you are now. That just gave me a really cool feeling. I'm really, yeah. If we could have 10 Lindsay Labontes, we'd take them.
But girl,
there's only one.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll
you
take
might not want that. Ask my husband. He'd be like, actually, he basically has three because my daughters are pretty much the same. So. We just got back from a 10-day vacation. And I think if he heard dad one more time, he was probably going to, because we're always, Sam, can you get this? Dad, can you get this? Can you go fix that? Can you go do this?
Wait till they start calling him Sam.
Oh, they already.
Sam, go get this.
They call me Linz sometimes. And I'm like, okay.
My son does that. He'll say Corinne. And I'm like, Corinne to you? And he'll say, oh, Corinne, can you do this? I'm like,
that's pretty funny.
makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's cute. It's in an, as long as it's in an endearing way and they're not saying it, you know, out of spite, that's fine.
100%. Lindsay, I have to ask, I mean, this is such a cool story and how you became a young woman developing with your dad and learning. How do you feel like it kind of transitioned you over into a leader and a branch manager? Like, what were some of the things? You kind of touched a little bit upon some of the tricks your dad was showing you behind the scenes, but did you take a lot of his leadership skills too? And how is that applied in leading a team?
Yeah, my dad and I are, I would say, really similar and also really different, right? So we kind of ended up complementing each other. So we really worked. He wrote his last loan in 2017. So from like 2010, when I was licensed, 2017, we were really working side by side. And he is and was a really successful top originator. And so a lot of what motivated me is I did not ever want to be riding his coattails mm-hmm. ever. And that's the one thing that still I have to, what do they say? Like, kick the monkey off your shoulder when you start speaking badly about yourself. It's, you know, the, oh, she just stayed at home and never moved away. And oh, she just works for her dad and gets whatever she wants. And that I have to like, just boot that thing off my shoulder, because I know it's not true, but it's, that was a big insecurity for me, that imposter syndrome. And just, you know, like, do I even deserve all of this? And yes, because, you know, so that motivated me to also be a top originator. And so when my dad was doing, you know, 120 plus units a year, I was doing 100 plus units a year with my own book of business. Mm-hmm. And yeah, certainly the community connection, the family connection, 100%. I understand that helps to build everything. But there's plenty of people who wouldn't have that skill set or that desire to even do that. And so I think that's what worked. Obviously, the guidelines, the confidence, all of that to be able to actually originate loans. And then he also has a great way of leadership by example. And so it's always look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp is one of his mottos. And, you know, he just expects the best from everybody, and people respected that. And I think, I hope that I kind of adapted that similar style. And the team building is huge. So what I've learned even more about my dad, I think, as even as he's gone into now retirement, is I think he does a fabulous job of surrounding himself with people who support his strengths. And so when I eventually decided that I wanted to take over management and I wanted to build my own team, that was a big part of the learning curve. And I had seen my dad do that, which was definitely helpful. So finding the right people to kind of fill the gaps between my own strengths and skill sets versus what I needed the support with, which I saw my dad do too.
So, Lindsay, I do just want to go back to that mantra that your dad had, because I want to reiterate what you just said, because it's so powerful. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. The look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. And I love what you also said about finding people to fill in your strengths. I hear people say that a lot, but how do you do that? You know, how do you begin to, number one, know what your strengths and weaknesses are? I guess that's take the very reflective person. But then how do you find people that are kind of your opposite, equal, you know, fill in those gaps? What did that look like for you?
Well, the best, I think, thing that happened to me actually, and for a variety of reasons and also work related, is having my girls. So Charlie's 4.5 and Penny's 3. And like, growing up in this business, I mean, it's such a part of me that I had such type A tendencies and all these plans and everything had to be perfect. And when I had the girls, that like went out the window, frankly, right? For anybody that's listening, that's a parent, maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you're just way better at it than I am and you don't feel that way, but all of a sudden,
No one is.
It was like this, but it was almost a relief because in a way I was like, you know what? I'm a mom now. I've got spit up on my shirt. I showed up late to this meeting. Like, it is what it is. I've got to, you know, my kids are more important. And so when I had my first daughter, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no maternity leave plan. I was 100% working in the business on my own files with one loan partner. It was horrible. I took 10 days off barely and just like dove back into it. And that's a whole other podcast segment, but it did not go well. So with my second pregnancy, delivery, birth plan. I actually worked with a variety of different coaches and I was like, I'm taking 4 months off maternity leave. I'm not going to open my computer unless it's making sure the business is going in the right direction, like bookkeeping, paying bills, that kind of stuff. So again, very fortunate timing that Charlie was born in 2020 and Penny was born in 2022. And, you know, we had this incredible time in the mortgage world. So that probably made things a little bit easier. But nonetheless, I started building out my team, you know, as soon as I found out that I was pregnant again with Charlie, and I set that goal of 4 months. And we did strength finder assessments. We did DISC profiles. Mm-hmm. I had a personal coach. I had a business coach. I had a therapist. I had a personal trainer. Like, I was like, I'm getting all the support I can possibly muster. And it really takes a village. And let's just figure this out. And so from Freedom Club Coaching, the Acts of Freedom work, I would say, is probably one of the most important pieces. If you're not familiar with that, I'm sure it can be linked or something. Basically, to just get yourself doing only the most important things that you should be doing that make you the most money and also that make you the happiest, right? Like, get all that onto your plate and then essentially offload the rest of it. The second thing that was the most helpful, I worked with Scott Groves in Consolidated Coaching, and he does this awesome calendar planning hack, which is all like time blocking, task blocking, again, putting in the things that are really most important and committing to those. So we had this whole year of just like reworking job roles, responsibilities, and our calendars. And my team is so incredible. I have actually 3 people on my team who have been with me for 10 years. So they're like, I'm like, all right, guys, we're going to jump. And they're like, how high? You know, it's just, well, actually, usually they're like, Lynn, really? Like, can you just settle down for a second? And like, let's not fix what's not broken here. But no, they're really wonderful. And then the rest of my team too, I've known them, even they haven't necessarily been with us that long, but I've known them for a long time. So it's the right people and it's finding the right roles for the right people and then committing to it in the calendar. I think those are the keys to making that transition.
I love that. And I also think we do need to just take a quick second and just address like successful female loan officers who are also mothers and how difficult it is and how well you just illustrated how you learned from the first one, mm-hmm. that you wanted to do some things differently with the second. And if you have the resources, if you have the connections, if you're able to bring in support in any fashion, what a difference that was for you. Because I think a lot of times, and I don't want to stereotype it, as working women and mothers, we sometimes think we can do it all because a lot of times we can, but right. That doesn't mean it always makes sense. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't take a toll and affect you. So I love how you touched upon that and just addressed how you went for the full Monty of support the second time around and how successful that was when you just said, I need support and I'm going to go get it.
Oh yeah. It's so hard to ask for help, especially in this business. We have such a hustle mentality. And as soon as I learned to switch that ego, right, and say like, I don't need this to be the Lindsay Labonte show. I don't need to do everything. I'm not better than somebody else's. Like, let's get the support. And you just, it's exponential and it's growth in all directions, right? Like, whatever you want to do, go to a yoga class, there's such a mental toll in this business too.
I just want to say really quickly for anyone listening, if that is you and you don't know where to start and you're going to go back and write down everything Lindsay just said, DM us also, because we do have the Acts of Freedom that we can send you. We can work with you on that. You know, we have a lot of tools for loan officers. And hey, even if you're not going to be a part of HMA, we give a lot of info for free. We want to help people in this business thrive. So please reach out. I just want to
call me. That was one thing I was kind of pissed off too when I was navigating this, that there's not a lot of women oftentimes featured on these types of platforms where you can learn their stories and kind of resonate. And I reached out to a lot of people I knew in national coaching programs and all of that. And I was like, where are my other young, top producing moms that I need to talk to? And I did speak with quite a few and it was super helpful. So yeah, DM me too. That's totally, I'm here for you.
So HMA, are we going to talk HMA and transition a little bit? I heard from Rachel, and knowing the history, Lindsay, that it was a process of you figuring out what your next step was, where you were going to go. And there were some moments of thinking through this transition. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you got to this place of coming to HMA Mortgage?
Sometimes I'm like, do I really work here yet? Because it was a little while. So but I'm here. Yeah. And it's awesome. So I knew I wanted to make a change. So, you know, when I said like 2017 was when my dad stopped originating, he still hung on and kind of we co-managed for a little while. And then I had the girls. And so like 2020 to, you know, 2024 still now, 25, I was kind of figuring it out. I knew I wanted to change, but I also knew I wasn't there, right? Once my kids were self-sufficiently 3 and 4 years old, it felt a little easier to start doing the recruiting, actually answering those recruiting phone calls. And I probably talked to, I don't know, 25 at least different places and did a lot of research and have these great coaching networks that I reached out to. And Rachel and I had spoken a while ago in between one or the other kids, I think. And you were in a different spot. I was in a different spot and it didn't make sense, but I really respected out of any recruiter that I had ever spoken to, Rachel was, I don't, you know, make you seem like a recruiter, but you were and are hands down the best person to speak with. And the company you were with at the time didn't make sense, but then it was so weird. It was like divine intervention. I decided to start talking to these other places. And all of a sudden you had messaged me about something on Instagram. And I was actually thinking about you because I was thinking about podcasts and all this stuff. And then we ended up chatting. And so it's a weird experience leaving a company, especially I really love the people who I worked with and had a great company. It just, we ended up being bank owned and that wasn't where I wanted to be. I wanted to be with an independent mortgage company when that's all it came down to, really as simple as that. And you know, it's a lot to navigate what's out there. There's a lot of people that offer shiny bells and whistles and, you know, sign on bonuses and all these promises. And what I really focused on more so were just the people. What's the people? What are the core values of the company? And HMA from day one, I mean, Rach, I already knew you. And then anybody else you introduced me to beyond just, every time I got off a call with y'all, I was like, wow, these people have it. They know what's going on. They're down to earth. They're sincere. And it's the right size. It just felt like it made sense. However, me being me, I needed to make my pros and cons and do all my research. And this wasn't just a jump for myself. It wasn't a selfish change. I was also potentially bringing along, you know, 8 other people. And so I needed to make sure that it made sense for them, most importantly, to keep the team happy and motivated and supported. So that was a process. I'm so glad to be moved and to have made that decision and just no longer be doing that because it takes a lot out of your production dealing with recruiting and moving and all of that. But it's been a great, great couple months. What is it? April 1st. So 3 months so far. I don't even know.
I feel like it's been a lot longer, I guess, because we've known each other for a long time. But I really want to speak to people who are thinking about leaving. It is not a snap decision and it's not about a recruiter, right? Like that, whether you like the recruiter or not, you know, like we happen to vibe really well together and like we had a relationship, but if it didn't work, it's not going to work. You know, like you really have to make it work for your family, for your team. And I loved that you were talking to all these different companies and still we came out on top. Like that is so exciting to me because I feel the same way. You know, we do have such a special, unique group of people here. And it's not about just throwing enough loan officers against the wall to see who sticks. It's a really, really special group of people. So, and you fit in. Oh, I think you went to our sales rally the first week you were here and like just came right in. Like you've been here for years.
Yeah. And you know, I was just going to say with the sales rally, what I was so impressed by, of course, the rally itself and the content was great, but every HMA staff member I met, whether sales, marketing, operations, whatever, in speaking with them, everybody, I could hear the way the core values just inherently ran through the group. And these are unprompted conversations. You know, I just went up and introduced myself, right, to as many people as I could, trying to get to know everybody. And there were just so many commonalities about just the love for the company, the way the operations team is awesome, the way, you know, everyone works together, and also the vision for growing, but growing in a way that is still beneficial to, of course, our home buyers and providing excellent service, and also the loan officers and the whole team, right? And making sure that everybody is going in the same direction. And ownership, who cares? I mean, that was the deciding factor for me wanting to get back to, like I said, that independently owned mortgage company where there's actually extreme ownership. There's somebody, and in this case, three somebodies, who every decision, it actually impacts them. They're in it, right? It's not just this massive conglomerate or a bank board or whatever. Robert and Tom and Dave are in the weeds with us, helping day in and day out.
They are. And we hear that a lot, Lindsay. I'm glad you said that, because we hear a lot that makes a big difference in decision-making of coming here. And in addition, I've heard so many of our officers say, I felt welcomed by the other loan officers. I felt like they were all trying to help me share tips and tricks, where I realized maybe that's something to take for granted. Maybe there's some other groups where you just feel like it's more competitive, or it's not quite as warm, or people aren't sharing ideas as much. So I think that's something that we really love, and you can just kind of feel the vibe of it. We all have that opportunity to get together at something like Rally. So what a cool week to start, right, Rach? I mean, that was like awesome that we got Lindsay like right before that week, yeah, and we're able to all meet together.
And then you had me on a panel, and I'm like, y'all don't even know me because I just started here, but they're putting me on.
We know. We're like, we're going to get Lindsay on a panel.
Man, Linz, you have drank the HMA Kool-Aid. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not difficult. I mean, in that first San Rally, it was spiked with a little bit of tequila, so that might have helped.
As many were walking around.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah. No, it's been great. And it's so motivating to be excited about a company too, right? I mean, our applied mortgage team has always been my brand and my focus, but I am so, I guess motivated is really the word that keeps coming to mind, to just get out and sing the HMA praises too, because having a parent company that's so supportive, marketing, y'all are unparalleled. I think of an idea and boom, it just comes into fruition. So talking about that support is awesome.
Yeah, well, we love to see our loan officers too, you know, really embrace what we're doing in marketing, because it's not for everybody. And we don't make everybody just do everything because we want them to do it as part of our agenda. It's really each loan officer is very different. So I love seeing you do more video. I love seeing you, you know, with all these great posts. And I think you're up to almost 200 reviews on your experience.com reviews. Like, I love seeing that and really seeing people shine that is unique to them, not in a way that we want, right? Not our agenda in any way, but to really just kind of see them step into the best versions of themselves. Like, that is so rewarding. We feel like proud mama bears over here watching everybody just grow and shine. And it's really cool.
And there's room for more. So I'm excited. Keep growing.
I want us to wrap on a segment talking a little bit about you specifically with marketing, Lindsay, because Rachel and I were discussing this. We have some loan officers that have just kind of led in all the categories, right? Like, it's not like they're just focusing on video or they're just focusing on work through their CRM. You have really kind of spread out your expertise. You've ingrained all of it into your system. Is there anything you want to share, like, during this process, that might be helpful for other loan officers to understand as you've tackled different sections and divisions of marketing to make sure you're covering communication in every different format, so that, you know, some person might really respond well to text messages while another person is watching podcasts, while, you know, another person is just attending events and likes to connect with people in person. How have you kind of mastered all of this? Because we really feel like you're one of those leaders in the industry that has marketing mixed with mortgages.
So there's such a shift. I mean, I told you I started with my dad when I was 16, and there were some carbon copy applications still happening, right? So the way that business is done now, 19, 20 years later, the process of getting a mortgage is actually pretty similar. The programs are actually kind of still the same, right? But it's become so transactional with just the click button, do it online, do it on Zoom, do all of that. And so everything that I try to incorporate into the process is to transcend that transaction. I want to make sure that we are partners for life, that whenever they think of their next house, their kid's next house, they want to refinance, build, upsize, downsize, second home, investment property, whatever it is, that they think of us. And more so beyond that, that they even think of us when they need to go find a new hairdresser, or they need to go to find a new auto mechanic, or their kids are going to preschool and they know I have preschool aged kids. So how do we do that when we're not meeting people in person anymore? How do we get that same relationship and that same authenticity and that true connection that I watched my dad get belly to belly and that I did for 10 years before it all switched to digital? So for better or for worse, I just throw it all in. And you said mastered. I don't think that's the right word, but utilizing technology to enhance the relationship is the bottom line goal that I always have. How can I make every single correspondence, communication, email, notice, phone call, whatever it is coming out from my team, an opportunity for a better and stronger connection? That's the goal.
I like that.
Yeah, that's really important to remember. And this is something we say often, but should or is worth repeating, I guess I should say, is that it's social media, right? It's to be more social. And sometimes we forget and we hide behind a computer, but it's so important to use that to enhance your business and to enhance everything that you can bring to the table for somebody. I love how you put that.
Lindsay, this was so awesome. I hope everybody got something good out of this and learning from a leader like Lindsay Labonte out of Massachusetts and with her team being an awesome leader and branch manager for HMA Mortgage. Guys, we invite you to continue our journey here. We're going to have so many more topics to come. Please like, follow, share, subscribe, do all the things. And if you have any questions or follow-ups from this episode specifically, you have our contact information and Lindsay is available to you as well. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rach. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
See you later.